like your written word, bring us ever closer to the living word, Jesus, your Christ. William Miller had calculated the precise date of Christ's second coming and, of course, the end of the world. Miller, using the book of Daniel and some pretty simple arithmetic, really pinpointed this day and the month and the year of Christ's impending return. And he began touring the Northeast to let everyone know that they needed to get in line. The exact date of Christ's return was October 22nd, 1844. "Follow me," he said, "and you will be saved." Miller gained about 50,000 devoted followers in this movement that came to be known as the Millerite movement. People just hanging around, waiting for the end of the world. And they gathered together in October 1844. And they waited. And they waited. Now, many of these same Millerites had given away their homes. They had let their fields gone fallow. They'd given away their farming tools because, hey, we're not going to need them at the second coming. And they gathered today because they thought they knew the moment. One of these groups that gathered was in Westford, Massachusetts. And they gathered together. They all of them donned their white ascension robes, they called them. And they gathered together at midnight on the eve of the end of the world to wait for their ascension. There was also in that community a man that history records as somewhat addicted to drink. He's remembered only in the history books as Crazy Amos. Crazy Amos. And Crazy Amos snuck up to where the Millerites were waiting. And he waited for midnight to come. And when it did, he blew his mighty horn. And the gathered thought that it was the angel Gabriel. And they waited with their arms up in the air for them to be ascended. But all they heard was Crazy Amos saying, "Yeah, fools, go back and dig your potatoes, for the angel Gabriel, he won't be a-digging them for ye." This really happened. It was a kind of cruel joke on Crazy Amos's part, I'll give you that. The Millerites called this day the Great Disappointment. And Miller died lonely and forgotten, although his movement inspired some of his disciples to carry on. They are known today as the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Miller's theological descendants number now in the tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands, I don't know. And I'm pretty sure that I saw one about 2 weeks ago in a white Ford truck with a bumper sticker on the back that said, "Warning, in case of rapture, this truck will be unmanned." You've been warned. But let's pay attention to the gospel today because it's deserving of our attention on this point. Exactly who is it that is being swept away? And in our gospel this morning, it's pretty clear that Noah, in the account of Noah, has something to do with this last moment. Noah is intended as an analogy of sorts. So Noah entered the ark, and we know that everyone else was swept away. And that's a pretty common story. It happens other places in our scripture. For instance, the people of Israel cross through, and they are left, they remain with dry feet on the other side of the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army gets swept away. Let me generalize that for you that are keeping score. For purposes of clarity, it's a gross generalization. Those who swept away are the baddies, and those who are left behind are the goodies. which is precisely opposite of how most people come to understand and practice the rapture moment. If you're familiar with the Left Behind series, it's those of us who have been left behind is because we've not been righteous enough to be taken away. But that's a sermon for another time. The real confusion, I think, about this moment, the beginning of Advent, or what day is your Lord coming, as the gospel asks it, is summed up with the questions, what precisely are we waiting for? Or for whom are we waiting? Today is the first day of the new year of the church. Not only is it the first day of the new year, it's the first day of our new lectionary cycle, which is a 3-year cycle. If you come to church every day for the next 3 years, you'll pretty much get all of the Bible, except some of the boring bits in the middle. You know, the so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so. We sort of cut that out. It's not very entertaining. Anyway. And Advent, as we move towards Christmas, is a season of waiting. Waiting. And one of the things I love about waiting for Christmas is the tradition of the Advent calendar. When I was a child, I remember that my mom had to shop around, find the right shop where the Advent calendar could be bought. That is not the case today. There are Advent calendars upon Advent calendars available for your purchase. For kids in your life, there is, of course, the traditional chocolate Advent calendar. And who could be blamed for being excited about having a piece of chocolate every morning, right? But there's also... And these are all real, by the way. I don't make up anything in this pulpit. You could buy the Lego Disney calendar, Advent calendar, or you could buy the Hello Kitty nail polish Advent calendar. Different color for every day. For the man in your life, and again, not making this up, there is Manvent. Manvent, the original man's Advent calendar that contains hot sauce, coffee, and exotic animal jerky. There's also the fishing lure Advent calendar. That might be a little bit more helpful. And for the ladies, there is the Days of Beauty Advent calendar, including a fragrance calendar from Jo Malone, only $400. If you're looking for a particular Advent gift for your rector, the Scotch-a-Day Advent calendar looks pretty good. I will admit that. But anyway... I was also in Trader Joe's to do some Thanksgiving shopping, and I saw, I kid you not, an Advent calendar for your cat. Catnip, kitty treats, that sort of thing. Perhaps, like Christmas, we have figured out a way to manufacture and to ship and to sell yet one more of the church's holy days or holy seasons. And if you're buying an Advent calendar for your cat, you might just have bought in to the commercial Advent at the expense of the holy Advent. And perhaps people buy these calendars because they have no idea. They don't know what it's like to have a holy Advent. And perhaps we have been remiss in inviting them and informing them about what Advent can be. Maybe we haven't told them to come and sit with us. Come and be still with us. Come and wait with us. If you want to get away from a commercial Christmas, it begins this Sunday, practicing a holy Advent. Let me go back to my original questions. What are we waiting for? Or for whom do we wait? And we need to avoid falling off either end of the answer. On one end, we are not waiting for the end of the world. Just take that out of your vocabulary. But we're also not just biding our time with Advent calendars and waiting the way someone waits for a bus. or a train, just sort of sitting at the station without much control at all about when that bus or train finally arrives. No, what we're doing in Advent is preparing. Preparing, like preparing your house for a visitor. And I don't know about your house, but the Thayer house never looks cleaner than when we're expecting company. Ever. We're not just waiting. We are preparing. We're preparing for Christ to be born. Let me phrase it in the words of my favorite theologian, Meister Eckhart. What good is it to me if the eternal birth of the design of the divine Son takes place unceasingly but does not take place in myself? And what good is it to me if Mary is full of grace if I am not full of grace? This then is the fullness of time when the Son of God is begotten in us. What day is the Lord coming? Well, that day is today. Today. If you will but prepare a place for him and receive him. Have a blessed Advent.